The Bible reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And this can be found on page 1031 of the Bibles. We will be hearing the birth of Jesus foretold to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Brilliant, Ruth. Thank you so much for reading for us. Let's ask God for his help as we consider his word. Let's pray together quickly. Father God, thank you so much for this incredible announcement. Please help us all have ears to hear, that we would understand what you're saying and see with greater wonder and clarity who Jesus is and what he came to do. Amen. Well, I don't know if you saw this, but a recent survey revealed 36% of Brits have done what? 36% of Brits have done this in the lead up to Christmas. Have a think about it. Well, apparently over one in three of us have walked into the present wrapping room at exactly the wrong time. Anyone done that? And 36% of people walk in on their own presents being wrapped. We've spoiled our own surprise by seeing what's going to go under the tree. And also 40% of parents worry about their children finding out what they've got ahead of Christmas Day. And it made me think, what is the greatest Christmas surprise? We can have the first slide. What is the greatest Christmas surprise? In 1936, here are two I think are quite surprising. In 1936, artist Salvador Dali was given a harp for Christmas. Not much of a surprise, I hear you murmur. But it was given by one of the Marx brothers, and it arrived wrapped in cellophane with spoons for tuning knobs, cutlery glued all over the frame, and strings made of barbed wire. Want to play that, Pip? I don't think you'd want to play that. No. That would be a surprise. Or how about this one? TV producer Aaron Spelling once shipped a truckload of snow to his garden overnight, all so his children could wake up to a white Christmas in Los Angeles. That is an AI-generated photo of what I imagine it would look like. That will be a surprise, especially when the temperature is over 25 degrees Celsius. But Luke tells us, I don't know if you saw this, Luke tells us the biggest Christmas surprise ever is Christmas itself. There is nothing bigger, nothing more outrageous, nothing more shocking than the arrival of God himself coming into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the Christmas announcement. The Christmas announcement. That's our first headline this morning. The impossible intervention of God's grace. I'm going to read from verse 26 again and see if you can sense the surprise. We have the words on the screen. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Unlike Zechariah, Mary's not in the temple. There she is just minding her own business when wham, suddenly an angel appears. I don't know if you thought about this or not, but there are very few great people, let alone ordinary ones, who get much attention at their birth. I was just picking a couple of biographies off the shelves. Chris Evans, I don't know if you read that, Memoirs of a Fruitcake, or this was off Caleb's shelf, Eddie Jones, My Life and Rugby. Hardly any reference to their birth. When you read biographies, the birth is passed over relatively quickly because people don't do much at their birth other than just kind of make it. And there they are. And you quickly skim over that and find out what they did in their life. But here, God is announcing something of the highest order. Everything about this event is special. Everything is a surprise. You see, this encounter, it comes completely out of the blue. It is completely God's initiative, his sheer grace. Gabriel just turns up. And did we spot what he says twice to Mary? Perhaps you can see it on the screen. Do you see, "Greetings, O favored one. You have found favor with God." It's all about God's favor. It's another word for his grace, his unearned, undeserved kindness. And God doesn't choose Mary because she's better than everyone else. No, it's all God's grace. And God graciously intervenes in the pages of history to do the impossible. You see, Mary's not married. She's betrothed, but not married. She knows it's impossible to have a baby. Can we see that in verse 34? But God is a God who can do the impossible. At verse 37, again, we can have it on the screen, "For nothing will be impossible with God." God intervenes graciously to do the impossible. But why? What does this intervention, this impossible interruption of God's grace bring about? Well, the birth of a baby. And not just any baby. So with the reading open in front of you, just turn to the person next to you and see if you can spot the three names this baby will be called. So 30 seconds. Open the Bible, look at the passage. Three things this baby, three names, three titles this baby will be called. I think I can hear at least two of them being called out, maybe three. Go on, someone shout out. Yes, what will he be called? Maybe you said Jesus. If not, that's a great answer. Verse 31, he'll be called Jesus. At verse 32, yeah. Thank you, Son of the Most High. And then verse 35, what will he be called? Holy, yes, the Son of God. And we're going to look at each one in turn. Firstly, he'll be called Jesus. It means he is the rescuing Savior. Jesus means that the Lord saves. It's all about a rescue. And somewhere in this building, I've hidden a life ring. And I wonder if anyone under the age of 11 would like to help me find it. So if you're under the age of 11 and would like to have a little look, you might need an adult's help to find a life ring. And then once you've found it, you can bring it up to the front. Where could there possibly be a life ring? Just one. Brilliant, great, bring it up the front. Excellent, brilliant. You happy to hold it up so everyone can see? Is that all right? Brilliant, so we've got a life ring. It is actually a genuine, not just a prop one. It's the only one I could find on Amazon, a proper life ring. And you see, just like you throw a life ring to someone who's drowning, God sent Jesus into the world to rescue. Except we're not just bobbing in the water. And no, the Bible says we're spiritually dead. We don't just need help. We need someone to rescue us from ourselves, from our rebellion against God. And we need someone to rescue us from God's righteous anger. And it's why the baby Jesus grew up to die on a cross. Because we need a rescue. Brilliant, well done, thank you very much. Do grab a seat. You see, the problem is, if our mindset stops at the baby in the manger, and none of us really mind the baby in a manger, he's controllable. In fact, he's so helpless in the manger, we feel we could help him. But the Bible says, don't be mistaken, this child is the saviour of the world, and outside of him, there isn't any salvation. That is who we're looking at. They will give him his proper name. They'll call him Jesus. The Lord saves. He is the rescuing saviour. But there are two more things this baby is called, and we're going to consider both of them after our next song. So if I can invite all the musicians back to the front, we're going to sing again, and then we'll consider the next two titles that the baby is given. Well, that impossible intervention of God's grace. It brings about the arrival of the rescuing Saviour, who is also the royal son. There's that second title. He is the royal son. We're told, do you remember, that Joseph is of the kingly line, of David's line, verse 27. So our antenna is up. We're on high alert. But then just look at verse 32 again. We'll see it on the screen. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. It's pretty hard to miss, isn't it? He's saying this baby is going to be a king, but not just a king, not just a monarch like any other monarch, though. Now, I don't know if you know your kings and queens very well, so I've just got a quick quiz just to test us, see how well we know our monarchs. And it's all about the longest reigning monarch. So, again, 30 seconds, turn to the people near you. You've got to try to put them in order from the shortest reign to the longest reign. Shortest reign. If you don't know who they are, you might just have to do it from the impression on their face. Any ideas? Well, let's see how you got on. If we go to the next slide. If we go to the next, okay, there we go. So Johann II, obviously, Johann II of Liechtenstein. Be very impressed if you know that he ruled for 70 years and 91 days. Third is Rama IX of Thailand, sneaking into third with 70 years and 126 days. Second, obviously, Queen Elizabeth II, 70 years and 214 days. And there in first, Louis XIV of France, 72 years, 110 days. Quite long reigns. Well, then just look down again. How long exactly will Jesus rule for? Can you see in the passage? Forever and ever. And ever and ever. You see, Luke is telling us this baby is God's promised forever king. The Son of God, Son of the Most High. It was actually a title, a way of describing the ideal king of Israel, the son of David. So back in Psalm 2, God describes his forever king as a son. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promises that David's heir, his ultimate successor, who will rule forever, will be to him like a son. Now, this baby will be the royal son who will rule forever. But there's one more title. And so finally, we see this baby isn't just the rescuing savior. He's not just the royal son. He is also the ruling sovereign. He is God himself, the number one over all creation, stepping into his creation. So just look at verse 35 and see what the angel says again. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, he's talking to Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. What we might not have noticed is there are loads of threads here going back to Isaiah. And to help us, I've got some threads up the front here. You might need to make sure you're not stepping on one of the threads. And maybe three children can come and help me. Can I have three volunteers? One, two, three. You can work together. Brilliant. There we go. What do you grab a thread each and see where it leads? So there should be three threads. There we go. Knee girls, do you want to take that? There we go. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Who's going to grab this one? Brilliant, you're going to grab this. You've got to follow the lead. Follow it, see where it goes. And we've got one more. Brilliant, you're going to come and help this? Zoe. Yes, brilliant, excellent. Follow that. There we go. You can pull it, you can follow it. Go for it, go on. Follow the thread. Your thread's going this way. They're this way, you're going that way. There we go. Follow the thread. In theory, it was so simple. There we go. Where's it going? There we go. You can pull the string if it's getting too long. There we go. Once you've found what's at the end of the thread, bring it back up the front. There we go. Well done. Don't trip up over the thread. There we go. So we've got Isaiah 6. There we go. You can hold it up nice and nice. Isaiah 6. Keep going. There we go. Thank you, Craig. Don't worry about the string. You can just race down to the end. There we go. Luke is pointing us all the way back to Isaiah. Brilliant. You can hold that up. There we go, Zoe. Almost there. You don't need to collect the string. This is the difference between a boy and a girl. I shouldn't say that. So neat. So careful. Wonderful. Well done. Excellent. What does it say on it? Isaiah 7. Excellent. Bring it up the front and hold it up. So Luke is pointing us back to Isaiah, and he says, this child will be holy, just like the Lord God of Isaiah 6, who is holy, holy, holy. God announces a virgin will conceive and bear a son, just like Isaiah 7. And a child being born, a son being given, it's straight from Isaiah chapter 9. All of this is underlining that this baby is none other than the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the one who's like an everlasting father, the Prince of Peace. Well done. You can grab those and go back to your seats. Well done. Thank you very much. Let's give them a round of applause. I may not have done a health and safety check on that. There we go. Luke is telling us this baby is the Lord God himself come to reign. Jesus will be a rescuer. He's Christ, the King, the ruler, but he is in fact the Lord. He is God himself come to rescue and to rule. God himself has arrived. Now, just think for a moment. I don't know what your favorite Christmas movie is. I don't know. Think about it. But I reckon the Muppet Christmas Carol has to be in your top five. Certainly got to be up there. And it's a little bit like, if you can bear with this illustration, it is a little bit like Charles Dickens waltzing into a Christmas carol. Except this really did happen. This is history, Luke says. The divine author of the universe is writing himself onto the pages of history. And how should we respond? Well, as we close, just one final verse to look at. Just look at verse 38. Can we see how Mary responds? Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary is a wonderful example of believing God's word, accepting it, and submitting to it. As she puts her whole future, her whole life, all of her hopes, all of her dreams into God's hands and entrusts them to him. And that's what it is to be a Christian. And that's what this Christmas announcement of God's impossible grace calls on each one of us to do. Let's pray together now. Father God, thank you so much for this wonderful Christmas announcement. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he is the rescuing Saviour, the one we need to rescue us from our sin and your judgment. Thank you that he is the royal Son, the one who rules forever and ever and ever and ever. Thank you that he is the King we need. And thank you that he is the ruling sovereign. Thank you that you have made yourself known in Jesus, that to know him is to know you. And please, would we each, like Mary, respond by believing your word, accepting it, and submitting to it. In Jesus' name, amen.